Blog Talk Radio. Blog.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents the Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld. Today is October 8, 2021, and this is the Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry, as you heard in the lead-in. Today we're going to continue with our discussion about life road, death road issues and where we actually are in time. And as was just a couple of minutes ago pointed out to me, it's very hard to get rid of the old and put in the new. So we will get started with that in just a moment. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. You will also find lots and lots of good writing by Rick. We have a secondary website, our original website from 2007 or something like that. It was before that. And you can go there for lots of good historical data and lots of good writing by some Rick and some of the rest of us. We encourage you, can you shut that heat off for me over there? Thank you. We encourage you to go there because there's lots of other good stuff. We have a Facebook page. It's called Spirit of Truth Ministry Facebook, Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. And if you go there and you request membership, we will be happy to include you in the membership of that. Rick recently and me each show, we do put up a little writing that you might find interesting and fascinating, especially as regards to the situation with life road and death road. And so we encourage you to go there as well. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, bless our efforts today as we consciously change what we believe to be true, which is a lie, into what is actually the truth. This is a difficult process at best, and it is difficult to get rid of the things that will hold us back from learning what you want us to learn. So I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will come into each of us who are here and each of us who listen and make that transition possible. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's see here. We've got Dr. Don up. Hang on. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
So you're listening to the rain, huh?
I'm listening to the rain, enjoying it.
This is quite an unusual thing for sunny Southern California, but we're sure glad of it. Larry, you're here with us today. How are you doing today?
I'm here.
You're here. Good. Well, Rick, you're up to bat.
You know, I've really gone through in my mind because of the current situation on Earth to try and determine and decide upon what would be the most pertinent, important information that would be helpful to those who are experiencing varying levels of tyranny. There is the prime example of that in China. And you see China heavily influencing leaders in other countries, including the United States, to do its will in spite of any constitution or national laws that would not allow that type of authority. You know what I have said about the time that we are living in, and I find it interesting what is happening in Earth is feeding fodder to the those who are particularly interested in the prophecies in the Bible concerning the end time. Some are even using prophecies that only concerned Israel and applying them to the end time. Still using the nation of Israel as a key piece in the process that God is using. I've heard the use of the seven trumpets of late, even in the realm of the quote-unquote white hats, information coming from sources who are inside and in the know.
Are they thinking that those seven trumpets language that they're using is a real application, or is it just a convenient, useful metaphor that illustrates what they're going to do?
Yes.
They're not thinking it's an actual fulfillment of Revelation, are they?
No. But then, what I have read that those have written about various elements of Revelation, primarily Revelation, they're giving a more general application to prophecies that were very specific. The one prophecy that is going right along as it was given is the one that I have referred to, I think, in almost every broadcast study that I have done over the last few months. And that is Daniel chapter 2. It is the least detailed, I guess, although the details in it are very specific. I'm talking about the activities that are going along through the specific times. Because what Daniel 2 basically does is says, well, there will be a progression of empires that are affiliated or directly connected to the activity of the Council of Hell with the devil, Satan, as the ultimate ruler. He is the prince of the kingdom of the world, and he maintains his relevancy through the clever use of lies. And what he creates with his lies is a spiritual darkness. And this spiritual darkness can only exist as long as the people of Earth allow it. He has convinced the people of the Earth that they are not in darkness, that they are actually living in the light, and that those who are resisting the darkness or trying to figure a way out of the darkness are actually the enemy, and they are the ones who are trying to bring darkness upon the whole world. The most difficult thing I have found in my experience, particularly over the last 28 years, but even before that, longer than that, is that people prefer darkness because they want what darkness offers. What darkness offers is false hope, false reality, and false promises of what your heart's desire is. The darkness also presents a false image of light. The darkness presents itself as light and light as darkness. The darkness promises everything you would ever want. Promises eternal life that is free. Promises prosperity that is not earned. Promises an existence equated to paradise and a spiritual elevation unto a completely different level of existence. Now you say, well, doesn't God, who's light, promise all those things? Yes, but the path to those things is different.
A few sentences ago, maybe even a thought ago, you used a term that started me thinking. You were talking about prosperity. I think that wasn't there. seems like some people's belief system seems to be based on being gifted rather than needing to be earned or qualified for. Isn't that the basis of much of popular Christianity or
yes.
wider scope than that? It's
darkness. See, Larry is pointing out something that's very important. He recognizes that prosperity requires certain things take place.
People love their stimulus checks.
And
to the point of not going back to work.
What I am trying to describe is best described by how this all got started in the first place and why we are going through this situation that we are currently in and what the world has been going through for a very long time. And that is the garden that God planted into which he put the man that he had created, from whom he brought forth the woman. And then was to conquer the darkness that had been brought on the whole world through the clever lies of the fallen angels, Lucifer and his cohorts, who fomented an insurrection that removed the authority of God. It removed God from the world. Now, he still owned the world because he made it. But ownership and authority are not necessarily the same thing. We get an insight into God's constitution, if you will, and how God addresses an insurrection. You might say that the way that God addresses and confronts and deals with an insurrection is what's been going on in the United States over the last 5 years. It is very evident to me that the current administration in the United States, while they came into power through fraud, have been allowed to play their roles, I guess. They know very well that what they have, they stole. But they're thinking that if they can act quick enough and well enough, that they will be able to take control of this country and never give it up. This is really what God has been doing. And why has the devil been held in check Through what means has the devil been held in check? A good example is Noah. For we are told in Genesis chapter 6 that every human being, every man and woman and child of the age of accountability had nothing but evil, wickedness in mind. They didn't care about their neighbor. They cared only about themselves and how much wealth they could amass, how much land they could garner, how big a house, and there were no holds barred in attaining that. Wickedness was endemic in the world at the time of Noah, when God contacted him and told him that he was going to destroy every living thing that breathed air. He was not wicked. God could not, if you will, preserve the world because of one righteous man. So God preserved the righteous man and his family and many of the animals so that when the flood was over and the waters abated, the world again would be covered with life.
A great reset,
Larry says. What we have today is different, and it's a good different. It's the reason that we are not going to realize all of what Revelation describes. Parts of what the seven messages to the seven assemblies are valid. Parts of Revelation 13. The book with the seven seals is there, but the events on earth tied to the opening of the seals are not necessarily as they are described in the reality that Revelation describes. We know that there is a seventh trumpet because the seventh trumpet is very important. But it would seem counterproductive for trumpets 1 through 6 and the events tied to each one of them to take place because that operates in a whole different reality. The reason that the seventh angel's trumpet blast is important is that trumpet announces the defeat of the kingdom of the world, which is represented in Daniel 2 by that great imposing image. And Daniel 2, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, presents a defeat of the kingdom of the world by the kingdom of God. That is exactly what the seventh trumpet announces. That is why I believe that the seventh trumpet is mentioned in Daniel 10 without trumpets 1 through 6.
Is that Revelation 10?
Revelation 10. There's also an announcement in Revelation 10 that is of very significant importance. That is, the time of waiting is over. Now, God has been waiting for a very long time. And is that announcement about God's time of waiting? And what does waiting mean? When we have planned a vacation, we are waiting for the time when we get to leave on a vacation. When we are waiting for retirement, we must wait until the time that we retire, and we plan for that time. But we know what we're waiting for, and we know when it's going to happen.
The language in your translation says waiting. The language in my translation, New American Standard Bible, says there will be delay no longer. There can be waiting that's not based on a delay, but a delay usually indicates something is having to be done at a later point than it was intended. Which of those is more appropriate to this?
Thank you for that, because that's what I'm going to bring up. God knows when the revelation of his secret intention will be made. In fact, we're told that it's at when the seventh angel is about to sound, the secret intention, or God's secret intention, will be made known, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. So the announcement about the delay or the time of waiting is over. What do you think the wait is for? When I think about what God has been doing, even though he knew that the kingdom of the world would be destroyed, defeated, and that he ultimately would have his authority over the world restored, he's waiting for a kingdom, but he knows when that kingdom will come. And he does so by giving Nebuchadnezzar that dream.
So from God's perspective, it's probably a case of waiting. From the people's perspective and their incorrect belief systems, it may seem more like a delay.
Yes. Think about this next time you want to question why God is waiting. Why does he let all this happen? I mean, like with what's going on now with the inoculations, which are being forced in some countries and threat of force is being made in others. And those who know the truth about the inoculation would not in their right mind get it. But those who rely on their work and so on and don't want to cause any problem, they go ahead and get it. What is happening, the way that is being used, is the way the mark of the beast is described. That people will take it because they want to be able to buy and sell. They want to be able to work and get paid. They want to be able to pay their bills. They want to be able to buy groceries. So basically what they do is they sell their time.
And other times it's for social reasons so that they're not ostracized or an outcast from their social groups.
Be able to fly, yes. Now, if it is the mark of the beast, and it isn't, because first of all, you have to have a beast before you have get the mark. But a lot of people are saying that it is. And that's what the kingdom of the world, the leadership of the kingdom of the world is using it for. But I know we are not in that reality. The one that Revelation 13 describes about the mark and about what happens to those who receive the mark. Because before the mark of the beast is made a requirement anywhere, certain things have to happen. And those things are the return of the master that we read about in Matthew 24, 42 to 51. Very clearly there, describing the faithful and wise enough, a trustworthy and wise enough servant, feeding his fellow servants, giving them their food at the proper time. It says it will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he comes. And then there is the kingdom of the heavens described in the next chapter of Matthew, in chapter 25, the bridesmaids. There's also the 144,000. And then in Revelation 7 and 8, we see that there are four angels holding back the four winds, and they are not going to release the four winds until the 144,000 are sealed. The 144,000 have not been sealed yet. But you can recognize that the four angels holding back the four winds, you might say, well, it seems like there's a little of that wind blowing, so the angels are not holding back the four winds, or they're doing the best they can, but they're about ready to be overpowered by them. No. And why do 144,000 need to be sealed? Why do the five wise bridesmaids need to be in the kingdom and the door shut before any of this gets started? Because God needs a righteous kingdom to warn the people of the world what is happening. The first trumpet with the flaming hail mixed with blood. The second trumpet with a mountain all ablaze, a la La Palma volcano. Mountain all ablaze that is cast into the sea. A third of the sea creatures are killed. A third of the ships are destroyed. A third of the water, the sea. And then a star blazing like a torch hits the land and poisons fresh water on a third of the earth. Then the sun and the moon are darkened, the stars fall. Et al. Are released from the abyss. I don't know if you know this. I talked about this a couple months ago. That during the year 2019, it was actually in April, April 19th, I believe, or 14th, April 14th, when the Notre Dame Cathedral burnt. There is some information that was, well, it was deliberately set, but it was deliberately set by the quote-unquote White Hats. And they did it to prevent an occult ceremony from taking place on the 19th of April 2019. And I find that very interesting. You see, what the ritual that was going to be performed or was planned to be performed in the bowels of that cathedral, and I'm not going to go into details about what the ritual included, but what the ritual was for was their attempt by doing this to open the abyss. So that their God, small g, could come out of the abyss and they would rule the world. But you say, but Rick, that's not what the fifth trumpet says. The fifth trumpet says that saw an angel that had fallen, and to him was given the key to the abyss. And he opened the abyss. And it says about those who came out of the abyss, they have as ruler over them the angel of the abyss, whose name is Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in Greek. But none of that can take place while the four angels are still holding back the four winds.
A couple of questions. It appeared that the cabal was trying to force something to happen that was already on God's schedule to be done for them.
That's why I hear.
Is the reason that they were trying to force it because they knew that schedule was altered and no longer going to happen the way they originally thought it was?
They knew that if they didn't do that ritual then, because this is what I understand. I'm not saying this is true, although I believe that it is. If you look at my chart, you know, the one that I was wrong on, the one that didn't happen, that
we all learn from our mistakes.
People were telling me, including my wife and my son, that I've been wrong so many times that I can't possibly be right. Now,
well,
my wife,
remember,
say that, but
you weren't wrong.
Well,
on
that's
one
what I'm
timeline.
Yeah, I had to ask myself this question: if what makes someone wrong? When they lie? Yes. But if they tell the truth, are they wrong? Can't be. I mean, if you tell the truth, can you be wrong? Well, in truth, that chart, as far as I know, accurately described the timing of events during the Great Tribulation.
Is it possible to tell the truth at the wrong time? And
well, yeah. See, the truth really is only relevant. Truth is always true. Doesn't matter, you know. Truth is always true, but truth in time-specific terms may not happen or describe what is happening, but it's still true. It's just a different reality that we did experience.
In Matthew 17, didn't Jesus tell his disciples, don't tell anyone until?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing. If you look at the chart, which I think Dennis has made available a link on WordPress and on Facebook, I have on there May 4th or May 5th, 2019, as the time when the fifth trumpet would sound and the devil and his angels would be released from the abyss. It's interesting that the occultists, Satan's inner circle of human leaders, knew that if they did not perform this occult ritual on this very specific date, they would not be able to do it again to open the abyss for 1,000 years. And how was it that the White Hats, well, I guess, you know, the good guys, whatever, knew what they needed to do and when they needed to do it in order to prevent bad guys from being able to do their ritual and open the abyss? And what is the abyss? What is, you know what? Yes, Larry.
I got an additional question, but maybe it's not relevant to anything we're trying to accomplish here, but the cabal and the performing their ritual on time, was that defeated simply by the fire, or was it the fact that their body clone was destroyed in the fire? Is that what messed them up, or was it additional things, access to this subterranean rooms? And
I think what it did is it was the one of the most important elements of the whole thing was the cathedral itself. Down in the basement, it had all of the required icons and architecture, whatever else you want to say, and that was all destroyed. They were not able, for whatever reason, to do that. I know that it is said that they had a body, which, you know, what's interesting is that the way it is described about the beast and so on in Revelation 13, that it says he was given the power to give breath to the image and cause it to speak. I have heard about what their plan was, is that when spiritual Lucifer, who is a spirit, is what I mean by that, could go through the portal and enter into the physical realm from the abyss, he would enter a cloned body that didn't have a spirit in it, didn't have life in it. It was just kind of like growing tissue cells in a petri dish. There was a body already prepared for him to enter and give it life animated, an avatar, if you will. I'm not saying that's actual factual, whatever, but, you know, who knows? I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand. What is interesting to me is that it is the same year within days of the date I put on the chart of when Lucifer and his demonic horde would be released from the abyss. They would transition out of the spiritual realm into the physical realm as physical beings that could be seen. So what I'm saying is, it is very clear that things are happening that prove we are in the end time of the kingdom of the world. In fact, I have at least four distinct separate sources that I've been able to find that confirm the fact that the leadership of the kingdom of the world has surrendered. They have surrendered to those who are fighting on the side of God. They are not righteous any more than Nebuchadnezzar was righteous. They are doing, though, what they believe to be right, and they're doing it because they care about the people of the world. These people who are living in darkness to accomplish what he needs done for his kingdom of light. God has been fighting this war. But God needed and needs to use to do the work on his behalf. And it's just like when the time came for the people living in Judah to go into captivity because they had reached their full cup of iniquity. Told his servants, the prophets, that his servant Nebuchadnezzar had been tasked with the duty to take Judah into captivity, and that God would use Nebuchadnezzar to accomplish his purposes. Nebuchadnezzar had the dream that is recorded in Daniel 2. Not Daniel, not Jeremiah, not Ezekiel. Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. And for some reason, Nebuchadnezzar knew that that dream had certain meaning which he was not told, but which he wanted to know.
Rick, what does it tell you about God's view of the people that were supposed to be the kingdom of heaven at that time, in God choosing a pagan king to work his will in the world instead of the leaders of that kingdom?
And he didn't even stop with Nebuchadnezzar.
That's right.
He went on to Cyrus.
Because there was nobody in the kingdom who could accomplish what
God needed to accomplish.
And what did Cyrus say? You also read this in Daniel. Cyrus, I think, was a title. Darius was his name or his family name. What did he say when he pulled Daniel up out of the lion's pit? That Daniel's God is the God of gods. Now, that's a pagan king.
Right. And he was supposed to be the God of gods. I mean, that's, you know, Artaxerxes and all these others claimed to be the God of gods.
So both Nebuchadnezzar and Darius, Cyrus, acknowledged what most of the children of Israel ignored. And the reason I say that is because the whole reason they went into captivity, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, that the northern kingdom didn't so much go into captivity, nothing like what Judah did. They were conquered and dispersed throughout the land of the north. Judah conquered and taken into captivity and lived in Babylon. And for what reason? Because they failed to become the kingdom of God. They, as the majority of the people living in the 10 tribal kingdom of the north, and the 2 tribes plus Levi in the south, were worshiping pagan gods, primarily Baal, Asheroth, Marduk. Baal and Marduk, I believe, were just different names for the same entity. And generation after generation. So what was God waiting for? God needed a kingdom, a righteous kingdom with righteous people who not only worshiped him, but knew him and worshiped him. He says, it is for lack of knowledge that my people perish. For lack of knowledge. What knowledge? You know, knowledge of how to grow crops, how to build houses, how to live in community, how to do geometry and math, and how to do the things that you need to do. Is that the kind of knowledge he's talking about?
Same thing. Situation is true today, isn't it? Before some of these people got red-pilled?
A
substantial portion
is,
of the population,
yeah,
was being deceived through lack of knowledge and understanding.
So that's the purpose for going through what we're going through. You know, people are quick to say, God, why are you allowing this to exist? Do you not think that God knows the end of this story? Do you not think that he knows what this reality brings about? Because he's already described it, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And the stone struck the image at its feet, and the whole image, which represents the kingdom of the world. The whole image represents the kingdom of the world. And in Daniel 7, we're told that the first three beasts have been allowed to exist for a specific time. The whole image turns to fine dust and
blows away like chaff on the wind.
And the stone absorbs those nations and grows to a huge mountain which fills the whole earth. That is how this story not ends, but how the kingdom of the world ends, and how the kingdom of God begins, and how God then has authority over the whole earth and its people. And the people then will do precisely what God created them for. Read Jeremiah 29:11. I believe that's what it is. Jeremiah 29:11. About the plans that God has. And you will see in there. Do you have it, Larry?
Yeah.
You want to read it?
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope.
Welfare is another word for prosperity. So I want you to know this for sure. And I know I have listeners in countries that are locked down tight and under tyrannical rule when they had freedom before. Take heart. We are like the Israelites between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. And when God parts the water, we will walk through to the other side, and the enemy will follow and be destroyed. These are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here again. We encourage you to go to our Facebook group page, Spirit of Truth Facebook group, and there you will find all sorts of good things to look at and to read. Our primary website, a reminder, is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find lots of good writing by Rick Sterling and our book, The Spirit of the Church. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific Time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where and when we will continue this discussion. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good, happy day, and we'll see you all tomorrow. So long for now.